Today on Real Radio.
And if you have a question about what you read in the Bible, ask God first. And then call us. Ask God first. Don't allow yourself to be manipulated into a hurry, because we need to learn how to wait on the Lord.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called The Disciplines of Life, a collection of studies that applies scriptural principles to our lives as true disciples of Jesus. The well-informed believer understands that he is in an unseen but very real battle. We sometimes refer to it as spiritual warfare, and this helps us to understand why the authors of Scripture use military terminology so often. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a topical presentation called The Discipline of Defense.
In the world, you will have tribulation. That's difficulties. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What a great word, be of good cheer. You know what that means? This is amazing. Jesus says you're going to have hardship, it's going to get tough, and some of you are going to be put to death. But you know what? Cheer up. Amen. Have a great attitude about it. That word means your attitude is at a higher altitude than what's going on in the world. You guys, we are, and I know I've read this, you've heard it before, but some people have said, you know, you Christians need to watch out. You can become so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I have never seen that happen yet. The truth is, we can become so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good. We are to set our affections on the things of heaven, church. We are going home someday. We're not home yet. You think you're home? See, well, I'm comfortable. Well, you're not home. We're going home. When you go home tonight, you're not going home unless you go home to see Jesus. You're going to the house or the condo or the apartment that you reside in for now. It's temporary. We're going to go see Jesus. And all of the stuff that's going on in our lives, Jesus says, be of good cheer about it. We're losing our home. We're losing this. We're losing that. And all the stuff is, and the ground is shaking and it's hot outside and all this stuff's going on. Hey, you know what? For the Christian, what was it today? 100 degrees here? For the Christian, this is as hot as it gets. Remember that. We can take it. Jesus says, be of good cheer when it's difficult. And so one of our great defenses in this life is to be strong in this fact that I'm not home yet. We're in boot camp, as it were. And it's our time to live out our faith, because you know what, church? The time is coming when we won't need faith in heaven, because we will see him face to face. And we will have lived our life and we would run our course. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 says, but what things were gained to me, Paul said, these I've counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Listen, that's for the believer. Everything Paul said, I've lost in this life. But listen, he was a Pharisee. That means he was probably a pretty wealthy guy at one time. And most scholars believe that because he was a Pharisee who had to have a wife, that him coming to Christianity, his wife must have left him. He lost his wife, possibly. He certainly lost his wealth. He became a nomad, as it were, for Jesus. He says, I've counted the loss for Christ as nothing. Yet indeed, he says, much more for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of everything, of all things, and count them but rubbish, that I may gain Christ. That's the heart and life and attitude of a believer. You can't stop a man. You cannot stop a woman who's like this. Church, like never before, the Christian needs to be galvanized for these days. We're the only ones who know what's really going on. We see what's happening in the world, and instead of stepping back, we need to step up. We need to step up. And I thank God for you. I mean this. I was on the email today with brothers back east and things that are going on, And I got to tell you, I thank God for you. I thank God for your commitment to your community, to your state, to your nation. You're amazing people. You guys make me look really good. It's amazing. It's all you guys following Jesus. You are taking the challenges of life and you're responding to them with the right attitude. And Paul had that attitude. How do we defend ourselves against this crazy age? Well, listen, mark this down. Temptations will come. But temptations come from this evil world, and we choose to embrace them or not. You'll choose to embrace the temptation or not. Please, don't embrace the temptation. Trials, on the other hand, come from the hand of God, and we're better off for them. You need to settle that in your soul tonight. Temptations come from the evil of this world. Trials come from the engineering of God's hand. You and I don't understand everything. You say, man, wait a minute, my trial sure seems like a temptation, or my trial is getting me to be tempted to lose my temper. I understand that. That's important. But your trial is different than a temptation. If you are tempted by sexual lust or something like that from the world, that is a temptation. But listen, if you're put into a financial situation or whatever, and you're feeling the weight of that pressure or whatever it might be in that area, that's a trial. Are you fighting a health issue? That's a trial. One is from the world and we choose to embrace it. The other is engineered by the hand of God. How do we exercise a defense as a disciple of Christ in a time like this? Listen, we begin to discern and understand. Lord, if this is from you, give him the grace to get through it. If this is not from you, in Jesus' name, Lord, you rebuke it from my life. Listen, I know some of you are saying, Pastor, I was always raised that I should stand there and I should rebuke it, and I rebuke, and you know, I'm going to stand there and I'm going to rebuke it. And yeah, I rebuke you, Satan. Listen, that is nowhere in the Bible. The Bible says, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. So I don't know about you, but I'm not going to sit there and go, come on, Satan. I'm going to say, Dad, he's banging on me. You rebuke that temptation this way. Lord, I'm being tempted. And in Jesus' name, Lord, give me the power to walk away from it and or drive it away from me now. And he will be faithful. If it's that trial, yes. If it's a temptation, yes. The answer is God in both. Psalm 107, verse 20, the Bible says, he sent his word and healed them from and delivered them from their destructions. What a great promise that is. Psalm 107, verse 20. So responding to the challenges of life, mark this down. What to do? Turn your thoughts toward the Lord. If your life is under attack, turn your thoughts toward the Lord. Is somebody attacking you? Turn your thoughts toward the Lord. What do you do about that? How do you do that? Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Wow. And 1 Peter 5:7. What a graphic verse this is. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That word to cast is to heave. Grab it and throw it at the foot of the cross. Take your thoughts and direct them toward the Lord. What not to do? Don't analyze the problem. It just grows. This is the problem a lot of people have. They look at the problem, and the problem looks like an anthill. And then they keep looking at it, and it turns into a mountain. And then all they can do is talk about their problem. What am I going to do? They start to panic. Listen, stop analyzing it. Why? Because if you're going to analyze your problem, it turns to a worry. Worry will destroy you. Worry will rob you. Worry is powerful, debilitating. It kills that attitude of I'm going to put my heart and mind on Christ. Stop staring at it. Look up. Amen. Call upon him. Number two, the disciplines of defense is this. Learn how to wait on the Lord. Christian, learn how to wait on the Lord. This is going to be tough. I have 6 points. This is number two. This one may be just impossible. Why? Because we are a no-wait generation. We go through fast food. Fast food's not fast enough. You drive there and they just throw the food in your window. It's amazing to me. Learn how to wait on the Lord. Church, this is a serious issue. Waiting does not come natural to us humans. We hate it. I personally believe that many Christians today are in a state of crisis because they refuse to wait on the Lord, or they don't know how to wait on the Lord. And the problem is this, listen, waiting feels wrong. It just feels wrong. In Psalm 46, verse 10, the Bible says, be still. How do you like that? Be still and know that I am God. By the way, the word is yada in Hebrew, Y-A-D-A, yada. And it means be still and know, be still and yada. It means discover who I am in that moment. See, all of a sudden you and I want to panic about the moment. And yet God is saying, excuse me, in the moment you're in, I want you to know who I am in that moment. Isn't he awesome? I am the God of the moment. Yes, he's eternal. But remember this, you and I are a blip on the screen in eternity, and that blip on the screen is held in the palm of his hand. He's in the moment with us. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. And let me add this, I will be exalted in your life if you wait upon me, he says. In Romans 8:25, there Paul writes, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. The word eagerly wait is cool. It means that you're waiting eagerly. What are you doing? I'm eagerly waiting. Because when we think of the word wait, we're like thinking like this, you know? What are you doing? I'm waiting. I love how realistic the Bible is. I am eagerly waiting with perseverance. For what? For the Lord to do his work in my life and for him to come back and for the next thing. And I love that. Learn how to wait on the Lord. What to do? Get alone with the Lord now. Get out a pen. Get out a piece of paper. This is serious. I'm going to listen, God's listening right now. You are going to get in trouble in a minute. And I'm going to get you in trouble. Here you go. I'm dead serious about this. And you know what? Watch this. If we do this, watch what happens in the next couple of weeks. Watch what happens. Get alone with the Lord. And I don't mean not ASAP. I mean now. Now don't leave. I mean determine now. Because here's what's going to happen. Step one, write it down. Step one, starting tomorrow, set your alarm before you go to bed tonight, 1 hour early. But Pastor, I get up at 4. So get up at 3. Believe me, I'll be up at 4 with you. Set your alarm for 1 hour. It's going to hurt for the first few days, but do it. Set it for 2 weeks like this. And begin to evaluate your life every day. Watch what happens for the next 2 weeks. It starts tomorrow. Okay, number two. Get alone. When you get up, get alone with God, with your Bible, and with a little notebook. And I want all of you, all of us, to start reading. I don't care how far you get, but start reading the book of Philippians in the next 2 weeks. Step three, repeat steps 1 and 2 for the rest of your life. Okay? Watch what happens in our private and public lives as a church. Watch what, as people, as a family, watch what happens. Okay, anybody not taking me up on this challenge? You're a wimp, you're a weasel and a snake, a loser and a bum. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you've searched for me with all your heart. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. That's what he loves. Go after him. Go after him. God in the Old Testament said to Israel, where are you? When you got up early and came after me like a lover and searched for me, where are you now, Israel? You've gone, he says, like a dromedary. Do you know what a dromedary is? It's a female camel who's in heat. He says, you've gone off and you've been sniffing the air looking for a male camel, and you've left me. And he says, return to me. Isn't that powerful? He says, come to me. What not to do? Listen, don't consult with your friends first about this. Well, you know, our pastor challenged us to seek God alone. What do you think of that? Don't even ask him. An hour. He wants you to wake up an hour. Sounds legalistic to me. What are you, in a cult? Now, if I would have said, sleep in an extra hour, people would have said, man, that church is of God. I'm going next week. Don't listen to people. Listen to God first. Always God first. You know when new believers make a decision, we tell them right up front, right here. We tell them, here's your Bible. Start reading it. Come to every service you can. Dive into all these wonderful things that you can get involved in. And if you have a question about what you read in the Bible, ask God first. And then call us. Ask God first. Don't allow yourself to be manipulated into a hurry because we need to learn how to wait on the Lord. I looked this up today. In 1709, the English poet Alexander Pope wrote, "Fools rush in where angels fear to tread." Why do fools rush ahead? Because they can't wait. Come on, in our lives we've made the dumbest decisions because we wouldn't wait. And listen, I know I'm going to get a letter about this from somebody, but I'm just using this as an example. When you go buy a car, or now, I don't know, do they give cars away now or what? Or do they even make cars anymore? I don't even know. Listen, mister, if you don't buy that car, I got a guy coming down. He says he's going to be here in about an hour and a half to buy that car. If you don't buy it now, it's going to be gone. You'll never get that one again. Listen, don't ever get backed into the corner like that. Oh man, you know what? If you don't buy this house, you know, you got 5 minutes, you got to sign on the paper. Listen, God is never in a hurry and he doesn't put his kids in that place either. It's very, very important. Wait. Psalm 62:1 says this, "Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be," listen, "greatly moved." And when you read that, you go, I don't like that verse because I don't want to be moved at all. Look, I shall not be greatly moved. Well, the word means in Hebrew, I will not be shaken to the core. I love the reality of the Bible. Listen, church, are we not all moved? We're moved. We have pressures, we have difficulties, but the Bible says you're not going to get knocked off your horse. Oh, it's going to move, it's going to shake, we're moving. But you're not going to fall down. Point number three, the disciplines of defense is this, stand in the power of his might. Oh, this is important. Church, listen, are you not tempted to panic, jump from the fire, pan into the fire, as people would say? Oh my goodness, what's going to happen? I'm under attack, or whatever it might be. Listen, the disciplines of defense is to learn this, stand in the power of his might. And how do you do that? You know what? First of all, you take your Bible, and because you're getting up earlier now, you got more of it, you're doing Philippians, and you're going to read it, and you're going to stand there, and God, I promise you, as you read the next 2 weeks, your life will literally work in concert with the scriptures you're reading. Watch what happens. And something's going to happen, and you're going to go, wait a minute. I know where to stand about this thing. I know what to say. I read it yesterday. You watch what happens. And let me tell you, your faith will just grow. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want greater faith? Only comes one way. I met a man last Sunday. He said, Pastor Jack, I live in Temecula. And I come here now on Sundays. Been listening to the radio program. And I said, Temecula, I said, you know, you drive past about 17 great churches to get here. I go, man, you need to save your gas. And he said, no way. I'm coming. And you guys, what are you guys, driving from the lake? Where are you? Crestline. We need to call a doctor for these two. Hey, listen, the amazing thing. That gentleman said, as I'm driving along, as I'm going to work and I'm listening to the program, he said, I got you on my podcast. He said, the time just goes by because I'm in a Bible school. I'm in a Bible class and I'm hearing the word of God. Listen, that guy's faith is growing, and that's how it happens. Would to God our phones and TVs would blow up. You know? That we'd hang on to the Bible more. Stand in the power of his might. Patriot, revolutionary Samuel Adams said, "We shall never be abandoned by heaven while we act worthy of its aid and protection." And I love that quote. We shall never be abandoned by heaven while we act worthy of its aid and protection. Did you get that? Samuel Adams said that if we are in the right cause and we've got heaven's approval for what we're standing for, we can expect this. Heaven will never abandon us. And you and I, our Father is God. We are his children. We have his eternal word. And if we act worthy of his protection, we will never be abandoned. Do you believe that, church? You are invincible if you are engaged in the things of God. Stay that way. What's the greatest defense against an evil age? Hey, you know what? For you and I, stay committed to what God's called us to. Don't move. Don't waver. That's why we need one another, to encourage each other along. I don't want to sound cold. I'm not cold when I say this. I have to confess, it's a discipline that I've learned. You're looking at a guy who's been mocked all his life. Because of that, I was a very violent man. Thank God he saved me. I tell you, thank God the Lord rescued me, because I probably would have been in prison today or dead. I was mocked all my life for stuttering so bad I could hardly put a sentence together, couldn't even recite the wedding vows in my wedding because I stuttered so terribly. But all my life growing up, singled out, made fun of, I can tell you classrooms, I can see it in my mind's eye where the teacher said, "Stand on top of the desk and read the book. Hey class, you want to hear him read the book? To stand in front of people? No way." I used to fake getting sick so I would stay home from school because I couldn't face the people. Why am I saying this? Because all my life I grew up with this. If I don't defend myself, nobody will. And I began to hurt people. And I learned how to hurt people in football because I was so angry. And I could defend myself. And then I come to Jesus at the age of 19 and I find out, wait a minute. Jack, don't defend yourself any longer. Lord, are you what? Don't defend yourself any longer. That's what I do, Jack. I defend you now.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Discipline of Defense, a topical message on what God's written word says about the unseen battle in which every believer is engaged. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Disciplines of Life, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, one of the best ways to be disciples of the divine Messiah is to study his life, what he said, what he claimed, what he accomplished, and so forth, which is precisely why Pastor Jack taught the series The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. We actually aired the series here on Real Radio. It's a fascinating examination of what Scripture says about history's most influential figure. And now we're offering Pastor Jack's CD series, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. All we ask for is a gift of any size toward the outreach of Real Radio. Whether you call, click, or write, just ask for the CD series by name, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. Visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to do things the traditional way, you can send in your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.